I'll read from Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 8 to 19. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. As was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, and it's quoted, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." End of quote.
I am reading from Luke 5:27 to 32. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Reading from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Let's just give him a round of applause for the reading of God's word. You'll know when I've been preaching in this church, I've been preaching through the Gospel of Luke under the title, "Jesus is for Everyone." Today, rather than looking at specific verses, I want to speak about Jesus' ministry and how it should impact the church today. And I really believe the Lord has put on my heart and my spirit this message to share with us today. It's an important message, I believe. And the title is, "Jesus's Church is a Messy Church." Jesus's Church is a Messy Church. I wonder if anyone here has visited one of the vast war cemeteries in France or Belgium or the rest of Europe. Steve has, and it's an awesome experience, isn't it? An awesome experience. They are places, there's some photo of a couple of places there, one of the British cemetery and one of the American cemetery, one of them there in France. They're awe-inspiring places. They're places of hushed silence and reverence. Tens of thousands of white headstones and crosses arranged in perfect lines, each one representing a soldier or a sailor or an airman who gave their life for the freedoms we enjoy today. The cemeteries, if you go there, are immaculately maintained. Hardly a blade of grass is out of place. Everything, as you can see in those photos, is in perfect symmetry and order to honor the dead, to honor the young men and women who gave their lives for our freedom. And you know, as human beings, we do like order, don't we? We do like everything to line up, particularly the British. We do like everything to look right. We do like everything to be under control, particularly when we are remembering those who have died. It seems right and proper to us. And we would be perhaps upset and offended if those cemeteries were higgledy-piggledy or unkempt or overgrown or wild. But I wonder whether you've ever thought what a mess those cemeteries are going to be when Jesus returns, when the dead in Christ rise. Graves are going to be exploding all over those cemeteries. Headstones are going to be flung in all directions. The dead will be resurrected. The dead order and symmetry of those cemeteries will be completely messed up. No, churches can be a bit like those cemeteries. Churches where we rightly honor and venerate Jesus who gave his life for us. We remember his sacrificial death for us. Churches, not this church particularly, but churches of beauty and order and reverence, where everything is governed by rules and regulations to maintain the honor and the reverence of Jesus who has died. Churches that do not allow anything or anyone to upset the established order. Churches which are orthodox, even evangelical or Pentecostal in theology, but tend to be as dead as those cemeteries. You know, I love the quote of D.M. Panton, who was a great revivalist. And he said this about revivals: nothing messes up cemeteries like resurrections, and nothing messes up churches like revivals. You see, when God comes, it messes up our order, doesn't it? And it's so interesting, in Luke and the other Gospels, whenever and wherever Jesus turns up, he disrupts the order, doesn't he? He does the extraordinary. His teaching challenges the authorities. It bypasses the religious leaders, and he mixes with the outcasts, with the sinners, with the rejected, with the despised, and even turns funeral processions into celebrations. You know, it shouldn't happen in our normal ordered worlds. Do you realize if Jesus was visiting Burngreave today, he probably wouldn't be here in this church worshiping with us? He'd be out there mixing with the homeless and the addicts, spending time maybe with the food bank clients and the lighthouse clients. You know, I have to say that I feel sorry for the Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers of the law of Jesus' day. You see, they were doing their best, weren't they? No, let's give them some credit. They were doing their best to follow God's commandments. They were doing their best to keep order. They were doing their best to keep the people as pure, holy, worshipful people who were God's people. They were trying so hard to keep all their gravestones in a row, if you like. Everything neat and tidy. And I feel sorry for them because many of us as church leaders try and do the same, if we're honest. We're trying to follow God's commands. We're trying to follow the teaching of Jesus. We're trying to keep order. We're trying to teach people to be pure and holy and worshipful and to follow Jesus. And we sometimes end up creating church rules to keep everything looking nice and neat and tidy and honoring to Jesus. And then Jesus turns up in the power of the Spirit, and he messes up everything, doesn't he? He messes up everything, and it's very inconvenient, particularly if you're a church leader. It's very stressful. It can be very upsetting. But you know, the Gospels tell us, the stories of Jesus tell us, that Jesus never wanted his church to be like a cemetery. Jesus doesn't want dead orthodoxy or religious rituals or rules or regulations. Jesus came to bring life, life in all its fullness. Amen? That's what he came to bring. Jesus is the great disruptor. He completely disrupted my life. I wouldn't be here today if he hadn't completely disrupted my life. It was not my plan. You know, when I was growing up, I wasn't dreaming of becoming a pastor or whatever. It was because Jesus disrupted my life as a rebellious student, drinking loads of beer and everything else. He disrupted my life and set my life on in a new direction. He's disrupted Rebecca's life. We've heard all about that, how he's disrupted Rebecca's life. He's disrupted so many of our lives, hasn't he? Praise God if he's disrupted your life, because that's what Jesus does. He has brought life where there was death. He's brought mercy where there was condemnation. He's brought forgiveness where there was guilt. He's brought healing where there was brokenness. And so the list could go on. And no, Jesus disrupts our churches. He brings life where there is death, praise God. He brings life to boring services and prayer meetings. You say, well, you can't say that services are boring. No, sometimes services can be boring, can't they? I've been to some churches where they're always boring. I was brought up in a church where it was always boring. There was no indication of Jesus ever doing anything in the church I grew up. You know, I was so bored that I used to count the number of boards that there were on the ceiling. You know, because as a young boy, there was nothing there for me because Jesus was not doing very much. But, you know, wherever Jesus comes, he brings life. He brought life where there was death. He disrupts our services. He disrupts our petty rules and our orderly routine. He challenges our sin. He challenges our prejudices. He challenges our preferences. And that's challenging, isn't it? We all have prejudices. We all have preferences. But when Jesus is around, he challenges them. He challenges our judgment of others. It's so easy to judge others. He challenges our apathy. You know, one of the greatest problems for the European church is the apathy that is in the church. You know, in some ways, it would be better if we were against God rather than just boring. You know, Jesus never intended us to be boring. He tends to be alive and passionate and full of zeal and full of the Holy Spirit for the Lord. It's so important, these things. He challenges our divisions and disunity. And I praise the Lord that Jesus regularly disrupts Rock Christian Center. And I have to say, I pray Jesus disrupt us even more. Disrupt us even more, because it's all about him. It's not about our rules and regulations. You know, I don't want to be leading a comfortable, middle-class, respectable church, you know, where everything is controlled by man and Jesus is not allowed to disrupt the order. I pray that the Holy Spirit of Jesus will continue to disrupt Rock Christian Center. It won't be comfortable, folks. It will be messy. It will be deeply challenging, and sometimes it may even be distressing. But when Jesus disrupts, Rock Christian Center will be a church full of the life and the power of Jesus through his Spirit. Amen? Isn't that what we want? Oh, goodness. I'm probably going to lose my job after this, in that respect. You know, what I was saying, I say this, you know, carefully, but you know, if you want a nice, neat, comfortable church full of respectable, right-living Christians who are governed by rules and exclude broken sinners and messed up people, then you probably need to go and find another church, because you're not going to be comfortable here. Because we want Jesus to be mightily at work in this church, don't we? We want Jesus to be mightily at work through the outreach projects of this church, in this broken and damaged community. Pastor Peter was talking about how when we lifted the roller shutters and you opened the door out there, there are sleeping bags and things like that where people were sleeping last night out and outside, homeless. We're surrounded. You know, we have to do regular picks for the needles and syringes that are all around this building, you know, and Jesus wants us, you know, we put us as a light in the middle of this place. And he wants us to be reaching those people. But, you know, when those people start coming in, well, that's another story, isn't it? That will be challenging to us. We're praying that people in our local community will be saved and come into the church. We're praying for our family members and prodigals to return. We're praying for workmates to be saved. And when God answers our prayers and brings these people into the church, they won't be arriving as nice, respectable, mature Christians. They will come as seekers. They will come as baby Christians with all the mess. Who knows, if you've got a baby, there's a lot of mess. There's a lot of nappies. There's a lot of sick. There's a lot of poo and everything else to sort out. And you know, that is just exactly what happens in church. When you get people coming in from outside whose lives are out of order, there's going to be lots of mess. There's going to be lots of confusion, lots of different things that are not quite in order. There will be disorder, there will be chaos. Because they will bring that in from their lives. And Rock Christian Center will be an even more messy, but glorious church. Amen? Messy, but glorious. A messy, glorious, Jesus and Holy Spirit-filled church. That's what we want to see, isn't it? So what does Jesus in the Gospel of Luke and the other Gospels tell us that this his messy church should look like? First of all, it's a church where Jesus is at work in word and power. Why was Jesus so disruptive to the religious and political leaders? Because he brought God's word and God's power to earth. Whenever Jesus went, wherever he went, he spoke and taught God's word. People were amazed, weren't they, at his teaching. No man has ever spoken like this before. His words had authority and power that had not previously been encountered. Why? Because they were the words of God. They were the words of God. And Rock Christian Center must remain a church where God's word is preached and taught, because it is the word of God that will teach and disrupt people's lives. Amen? It's not going to be human ideas. It's not going to be intelligence. It's not going to be philosophy. It's not going to be motivational speaking or positive thinking that will transform people's lives. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God that can penetrate to the heart. And so the word of God, the Bible, must remain central to our lives in Rock Christian Center. Why was Jesus so disruptive? Because not only did he bring God's word, but he brought God's power, didn't he, to earth. Wherever he went, he performed miracles and signs and wonders. The deaf heard, the blind saw, the disabled walked, the lepers were cleansed, demons were delivered, the dead were raised, sinners were saved and transformed. And you know, Rock Christian Center needs to be a church where there is more of God's power at work. Amen? Where there are mighty answers to prayer, where there are signs and wonders, where lives are literally being transformed by Jesus Christ. Yes, we praise God for all the answer prayers we've seen, and we often forget to thank God. and praise God for the wonderful miracles and the wonderful answers to prayer that we see. And many of you here have got testimonies of how God has broken through for you, brought a breakthrough in the most difficult of circumstances. We praise God for every life that has been disrupted and transformed by Jesus, but we want more, don't we? Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit upon us today. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit upon this community. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit upon the Lighthouse when they meet this Thursday. Pour out your Spirit upon the food bank clients as they come into this building. Pour out your Spirit to the CAP Debt Center clients as they come for debt advice. You know, that's what we need to be praying. More, Lord, more of your power, more of your work in our lives. But secondly, Jesus' message church in Luke is a church strong in Jesus' radical mercy, love, and forgiveness. Jesus reached out to the lost. Those Bible stories we just heard were all about that. Jesus reached out to the lost. He reached out to sinners. He reached out to the poor and needy. He reached out to the despised and rejected. He reached out to the sick. He reached out to the demon-possessed and the powerless. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and save the lost." There's a load of lost people out in Burngreave and Pitsmore today. There's a load of lost people. Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, those who think that they're righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's why Jesus came. Jesus' mission statement that was read to us says it all, doesn't it? "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Amen. Praise God. That's Jesus' mission statement. And you know, he's still fulfilling that mission statement today. He does it through the church, but it's he who does it, not the church. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise God. You know, Rock Christian Center needs to be a church that's radical in Jesus' mercy, love, and forgiveness for sinners and for each other as well. Jesus commands us not to judge others, not to look down on others, not to criticize others, not to ignore the needs of others, not to despise others, but to love them, to show them mercy, compassion, and forgiveness as Jesus has shown mercy, love, compassion, and forgiveness to you and to me, to us. You know, God's word says we all sin and fall short of God's glory. In other words, we all sin and we all fall short of God's standard for our lives. When the woman, when the crowd wanted to stone the woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, "Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone." And one by one, all her accusers walked away. You know, it is so easy, isn't it, to point the finger at others. You know, when you point the finger, you cannot point the finger at anyone else without three fingers pointing back at yourself. Did you realize that? You know, when we point and when we criticize someone else, when we judge someone else, there's actually three fingers pointing back to ourselves. And that's about the right proportion, isn't it? That we need to actually reflect upon ourselves. It's easy to be like the crowd on that day when Jesus met Zacchaeus. I don't know whether you've noticed that line. I love that line in there. I don't like it, but the crowd were muttering, "He's gone
does Zacchaeus' house. The house of that big sinner. He owes me loads of money. What's Jesus doing going to that house? Matter. How often do you and I end up muttering against someone you don't approve of? Someone who's coming to the church, maybe. Matter. What's going on in their lives? Matter. Or to the lighthouse. Matter. Or, are they really needing the help of the food bank? Matter. Though Jesus calls you and I to be like him. To share his radical mercy, his radical love, his radical compassion, his radical forgiveness for sinners, for the poor and needy, for the sick and afflicted, for the refugee and the foreigner, for the prostitute and the addict, for the Muslim or the Jew, for the despised and rejected, for each other. Expressing that radical love of Jesus for one another. And then thirdly, Jesus' messy church is a church that's strong in practical repentance and evangelism. Jesus' radical love and mercy and forgiveness for those others meant that he couldn't leave them in their sin to face God's judgment and punishment. Because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was compelled by love to urge people to repent, to be born again. The core foundation of Jesus' preaching, the first words that are written in the Bible that Jesus preached was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus warned people of the coming kingdom of God. He warned them of the coming judgment day. He warned them of God's coming wrath. They needed to urgently repent of their sin and be ready for the kingdom. That's what the story and the parable, so many of the parables about. Remember the bridesmaids, those who had oil in their lamp and those who didn't have oil in their lamp. It's all about that, being ready for the kingdom. Repenting, for the kingdom of God is near. And sometimes as Christians, we can spiritualize repentance as though it's some sort of internal spiritual exercise. We can even say we're repentant. But genuine repentance in the Bible is practical repentance. It's actually turning away from the sin that destroys our lives. It is redirecting our lives. We're going in one direction and it's a 180-degree turn and go back the other way. It's turning away from the sin. It's practical, folks. It's not a spiritual thing. I must get myself in a spiritual state so I can repent. No. The problem is otherwise we end up like, the old Catholics where they go to confession each Sunday or each day or whenever they go to confession and they've got every intention of continuing doing exactly the same thing. They confess their sin and they go back home and they're living in that sin again. But repentance is practically turning away from that sin and turning towards God. And that is key to our understanding of what Jesus came to say. Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, after her accusers had left, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That's practical repentance. Don't return to your old ways. Don't go back to committing the same sin. And Jesus expects his messy church to be a genuinely repentant people who are actively turning away from sin in our lives. And if we genuinely share Jesus' radical love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness for others, we will be compelled to tell them about Jesus. to urge them too to repent of their sin and believe in him. You know, it's not loving others, and I say this to myself, it's not loving others if we do not tell them the way to be saved. If we do not tell them the way to be saved from death and hell. Christ's love should compel us to share the good news of Jesus with others, with those around us, with those we love. If we say that we truly love them, then we'll want to share the message of Jesus with them. Because it's good news, folks. It's good news that Jesus came to die upon the cross for their sin. They can know forgiveness. They can know the life in all its fullness that Jesus came to bring. Therefore, we need to be telling them. May Rock Christian Center be a messy church that is strong on practical repentance and passionate about telling others about Jesus, who can save and rescue them from sin and from eternal death and hell. So in summary, as I finish, Jesus' church is a messy church. It should be a place of life, where lives are disrupted by Jesus' resurrection power. Amen? It should never be like a cemetery. There should never be dead order. But it should be full and bursting, full of Holy Spirit, power, and life. Jesus' messy church is a church where Jesus is at work in word and power. A church that's strong in Jesus' radical mercy, love, compassion, and forgiveness. A church strong in practical repentance and evangelism. That's the challenge to us. That's the challenge to me. So let's stand together and pray and ask God to be mightily at work amongst us. Lord, we just confess before you, Lord, that we do like order. Lord, we do like things nice and neat and tidy. And Lord, we do like to know where everything is. But Lord, we pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the great disruptor. And Lord, we ask that, Lord, you would continue to disrupt our lives. Lord, that you would continue to disrupt this church. Lord, you would continue to disrupt this community with the life-giving truth of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. Lord, that the gospel is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And Lord, we pray for more of your power, Lord. Lord, more of your love and more of your power to be at work, Lord, in our lives, in my life, in the life of this church, Lord, in my family, in the lives of the families represented here in this church. More of your love, more of your power, Lord, be at work, Lord, we pray. Lord, help us to be a church where Jesus is at work in word and power. Lord, help us, Lord, to see more of the power. Lord, we pray, Lord, would you come? And Lord, would we see more of the miraculous power of God at work, not only in the church and in our lives, but in this community, Lord, we pray. Lord, that the lost, Lord, may be found. Lord, help us to be a church that is strong in Jesus' radical mercy towards sinners, love towards sinners, compassion for the lost, forgiveness, Lord. Lord, help us to have that mercy, love, forgiveness, and compassion for one another. For Lord, your word says that, Lord, when those outside the church see the love we have for one another, they will want to know about this Jesus. Lord, help us be a church that strong, impractical repentance. Lord, that is compelled to go out and to share the good news of Jesus with others, Lord. Lord, set us afire, and Lord, send us out in the power of your Spirit, Lord, we pray, to reach the lost for Christ, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen, amen. Franco.